Good morning. 7 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Merry Christmas. We're getting ever closer to the big day. Well, joining us is Dr. Linda Mental. She hosts a very popular radio show, which you hear every weekend here on Faith Radio. She's an author, a college professor, and a family therapist, and one of our regular contributors. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
So we are just, 12 days away from Christmas.
Yeah.
And for many of us, that can be kind of a stressful time of year. And for folks that have already been under a lot of stress, maybe at home or at work, the holidays can compound that problem. You recently wrote a great article on how stress can turn to burnout, and I'd love to have you share maybe some of your thoughts with us. First of all, can you explain how short bouts of stress in our lives can actually be positive because they can help us to be more productive?
Yeah, so there's two issues related to that. So the impact of stress on the body is something that we need to be really concerned about, which is why we need to have good management strategies for stress. But there is a point in our lives, as children are growing up, it is good to give them some stressful situations at times, the ones that you know they can deal with and that you can be there to kind of coach them through and help them along the way. Because if they don't get what we call stress inoculated, which is kind of like giving them a little inoculation of stress, almost like a vaccine for stress. If they don't get that through their lives, what we're starting to see, and I think we're seeing this with a lot of millennials, is that when they do get into situations where they do have to function in the middle of a lot of stressful situations, they have problems because they're not used to dealing with the stress, and consequently, they haven't developed really good coping mechanisms. So a little stress goes a long way. Now, I say that, but then I also understand from a medical point of view that a 15-second episode of stress can cause hormonal changes that last about 6 hours in the body.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're holding on to stress, and that's really where the key comes in, if you're not moving through the stress, managing it well, developing what we call resilience in life, then you are at increased risk for cardiovascular disease, for hypertension, you're more susceptible to infection, and even can experience pain in a more intense way. So stress is going to be with us. All of life is about stress. I mean, we're all going to have it, and we can't really get rid of it all. But the issue is, can we manage it? Can we cope? Can we develop a sort of inoculation to it so that we can be resilient when we're in those times of stress?
What are the warning signs that indicate that stress has become habitual and now is leading to burnout in our lives?
Yeah, so this is really important for people to recognize in their own selves. And I actually teach this to medical students because there's nothing probably more stressful than going through medical school in terms of what they have to do to become doctors. So we talk about the three stages of stress and help them understand that as you progress through these stages, you're really getting into trouble. So the first stage is called the stress arousal stage. And in that stage, you're starting to feel irritable, you're kind of anxious, you might be grinding your teeth, you might be experiencing some insomnia, maybe some poor concentration, some forgetfulness. Sometimes you start to have stomach problems where your stomach is upset, it doesn't feel right, your blood pressure might go up and down a little bit, you might get headaches or palpitations. And for a lot of people, when they get in that stress arousal stage, that first stage towards burnout, they start to kind of self-medicate. So sometimes people will drink to calm down or will smoke to calm down, although smoking makes you more anxious, not less anxious. People don't understand that. Or they'll shop or they'll do something to try to decrease the stress. That's where we have to be careful because we need to recognize that this is the arousal stage and we don't want to move into it getting worse and worse, which is what happens in stage two and three.
So moving on from there, when do we know that burnout has really impacted our lives negatively? What are some of the things to be watching for, Linda?
Okay, so let's move through the second stage. So that's when we're trying to conserve our energy under the stress, but what we'll start to notice is it's not working real well. We're getting late, we're procrastinating, maybe we're taking time off, maybe too much time off. We notice a change in maybe our libido or if we're married, maybe our sex drive. We're feeling tired, we start to pull away from people, and that's an indication that we're in the second stage moving towards burnout till we finally get to that last stage, which is called exhaustion. And there people begin to feel kind of sad, depressed, down. You might even begin to wonder, what's the use? What am I doing here? You begin to have chronic problems with your stomach or headaches in that stage. A lot of people pull away and become socially isolated. And then that's where, at times, and you kind of see this with people who would never do anything unethical, but because they're so burnt out and they're in such a state of exhaustion, sometimes they'll violate boundaries or do things that are unethical or just begin to medicate in some way to just kind of check out of the thought that they're feeling. So if you're having those symptoms, you are in that exhausted burnout stage and you need to go get some help and get some support and resources.
So for somebody who recognizes those symptoms in themselves, Linda, and they're saying, gosh, you know, everything Linda's talking about, that's me. I'm really feeling burnout right now. What are some positive steps they can take?
Well, what you want to do is be able to say, okay, what parts of my life are manageable? What parts can I actually make some changes with the stress? So one of the things that puts a lot of stress on people that we really don't think much about is that often we have unrealistic expectations. And so we set up the stress sometimes thinking that we have to do everything or we have to somehow be something that we're not, or, you know, we have to tackle every relationship problem all at once in our families. And so part of it might be doing some simple things like looking at your expectations, changing those expectations so that they're more realistic, and then begin to say no to a few things. So if you are in this holiday season, you're already feeling burned out, I would say it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not going to send out Christmas cards this year. It's too much work. I just can't do it. I can't fit it in. Or I'm not going to bake the 4 dozen cookies for the cookie exchange. Or I'm going to say no to the church, even though I can help. I probably need a little bit of a break, and maybe I won't usher this year. Maybe I'll sit in the congregation. So taking some opportunities to set some boundaries on you, to look at how you're eating, how you're sleeping, maybe go out and get some physical exercise and try to reduce the stress that you can. And then talking to someone is always helpful for people when you're in a very, very serious, stressful situation where you might need the support of other people. You know, that's a free one, Bill. Support is one of the things that people can get for free. And it's so tied to people being resilient in times of stress that we all need to take a good look. Who is in my circle of friends that I can call on during difficult times and get some support? And of course, we've got God that we can always call on. He's a help in the times of trouble, the scripture tells us.
I remember a few years ago, Henry Cloud and John Townsend came out with a great book called Safe People, helping us to recognize those individuals in our life who are good for us and will build us up, and those who may be more negative and destructive, and how, you know, kind of God's view of character, and then how do we make the right decisions in those relationships. And if we can find those safe people that we can turn to, that we can be transparent with, vulnerable with, and that they can support us during these times of stress and burnout, I mean, that is really what, you know, the scripture talks about, bearing one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. That's a place we need to go, to our small group, to those people close in our circle that we can trust.
Which is why you don't want to wait until you're in the middle of a crisis to develop those supports. So that, to me, is one of the reasons that the body of Christ is so important. And it's so important. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can watch church online and I can, you know, kind of do it in the privacy of my own home. And I'm thinking, but you're missing this whole body of relationships that you can develop. And then when you do get into a pinch, you know, you've been there for someone else. You've developed a relationship. They know you and people step in. So we need to do this all through the year and develop those relationships and those support systems, because Cloud and Townsend are right. It is probably the number one thing that you see across the literature for any kind of stressful situation, any kind of health problem, any kind of work situation, relationship problems with people. When there's somebody to talk with, to be there, to encourage you, to lift you up, to give you hope through the scripture when you're feeling so down and disillusioned, those people become so important in our lives.
Mm, very well said. Our guest, Dr. Linda Mental, who you can hear every Saturday and Sunday here on the Faith Radio Network with the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Stick with us. Welcome back. 19 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us as we get a brand new work week underway. Our guest, Dr. Linda Mental, who hosts the Dr. Linda Mental Show every Saturday and Sunday on the Faith Radio Network. Linda, this time of year, a lot of us have to-do lists that are a mile long. And you have described two different ways of looking at to-do lists, one that's constructive and one that's actually destructive. So let's talk about those.
Well, a lot of people use their to-do list, I think, in the wrong way. They're looking at it wrong, and what it becomes is this instrument of condemnation to them. They look at it, they see what they haven't done, they get anxious, they get more depressed, they feel like they're failures, they have all this guilt about what they haven't done on the to-do list, and it seems like what you said, Bill, it seems like this sort of never-ending thing that you're never going to accomplish or complete. And I've been so amazed, because we talked about this one time on the radio, and not with you, but with another person, and we had so many call-ins on this of people saying, I feel like a failure. I have guilt over this. I can't get rid of it, but I've got to have it, but it makes me feel sad. And I thought, wow, this is kind of a big problem. So I started thinking about, I use to-do lists all the time. I mean, they're like my staple. If I didn't have them, I don't think I could function in terms of all the things that I have to do. But I think about a to-do list, I think, very differently than a lot of people who look at them negatively. And so what I realized is that the to-do list for me is a way of putting it down so that I will remember, but it isn't something that I feel like I have to accomplish the whole thing. In other words, I use it like a reminder calendar almost for me, not as a condemnation tool. And for me, in some ways, it's a time management tool as well, because I can look at that list and I can think, okay, I've got all those things to do. Now, let me prioritize, let me figure this out, and let me get a couple of these things done. I don't know. Do you use it in a productive way like that?
I try to. I try not to make it into a guilt trip. And I'm curious, do you think it's better to tackle the big things on the list first, or get several of the maybe easy to handle little things out of the way first?
Yeah, I think that's a personal preference for people. For me, I like to do the hard things first, especially if it's in the morning where I feel like I'm the most productive. So I'll take like the writing a chapter of a textbook or something that I have to do that's kind of intense and it takes a while. You know, I'm doing a lecture this morning on nephrology and a kidney dialysis and transplant. So that's kind of a heavy topic. So I will knock that kind of thing out early on. And then I feel like, wow, I can do anything now. I've accomplished this big thing. Oh, these little things on my list, those are easy. I can get those done, and then I feel really productive. But I do know people who do it the other way around. They feel like if they can do the easy things and they can start making red marks on their paper and cross them off, they feel like they're being more productive.
Now, when you say red marks, you mean putting a red line through the things you've actually accomplished, and
yeah,
it's not a bad red mark. It's a good red mark. It's, hey, it's done. I've got this out of the way.
Yeah, I think that helps visually. I really do think that visually, when we can see that we've accomplished something, that's why I love using like a red marker or some kind of, you know, yellow line or something to put through it, because then I've got this piece of paper in front of me, and psychologically, I'm going, huh, I've accomplished a few things today. I'm not a complete, you know, loser for the day. I've gotten a few things done. That makes me feel good.
How can putting a time frame on your to-do list be helpful? Again, not doing it in a guilt-producing way, but in a, you know, maybe a more positive way.
Yeah, I think that's where you start using the to-do list more of a time management thing. So if you, that helps people be realistic with the to-do list, because I had a client one time where I had him do this. And I said, you've got so many things on this list. And I said, now I want you to go back and I want you to put a time frame on each one of these items. Well, he came back with the list, and I think he would have been done in 5 weeks with list that he expected to do in one day. And I said, look at this. You're being realistic about your time frames, but no wonder you feel like you can't accomplish this, because realistically, you can't accomplish all of that for a day. So look at your day. Figure out how much time you have to actually do something in the day, and then pick one or two of those items, and then prioritize the other items for another day. And that just psychologically shifted him, and he was able to be much more productive with the list.
Mm. Great advice. By the way, you can find these articles that we've been mentioning by Linda on BeliefNet. The first one on basically how do we manage our stress and keep from getting burned out, and then the great article we're talking about on to-do lists, both at the BeliefNet website. Linda, thanks so much for your time this morning. We appreciate you, as always, your great insights, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.